Today, we welcome Whitefish Lake Institute's Mike Koppel. Hello, Mike.
Good morning, John.
Did he say your name right?
He did.
Koppel, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, all right. Okay, Mike is an expert in lake resiliency, and we've got climate change going. No matter how you slice it, whoever you want to blame for it, the deal is things are changing.
Yeah, no matter how you slice it, climate change is occurring. And when it comes to lakes, we're finding out more and more information every day. And depending on the season, different things are happening with our lake ecosystems related to climate change. If you were to look at lake ice, a lot of people are interested in that. And we know in Whitefish Lake, after years and years of data, we have weather observers going back to 1914 that they were looking at ice cover on the lake. And what we know is from 1914 to 1962, the lake did not completely freeze only 8% of the time. But if you fast forward between 1996 to 2017, the lake did not completely freeze 29% of the time. So that's over the course of about 100 years, we're seeing a pretty substantial change in lake ice formation on Northwest Montana lakes. Not only that, but we also see a big difference in the amount of time that ice does stay on the lake. So we don't have that specific data for Whitefish Lake or other lakes in Northwest Montana, but other lakes around the nation and world where scientists have been monitoring this show that, you know, lake cover forms later in the season and thaws earlier in the springtime.
Boy, that would, you know, Poise Lake out here west of Kalispell, we've been trying to have the pond hockey tournament out there for years. And the last several years, we just simply couldn't do it. There wasn't enough ice to play hockey on it.
Yeah. Yeah, it relates to safety, public safety.
Sure.
And
finally gave up on the whole thing because we couldn't come up with the ice that we needed.
Yeah. And, you know, every year is going to be a little different with climate change. We have higher variability in weather conditions. So this year, of course, you could have played hockey on Foy's Lake, but not every year. And so what we know is that lake cover is changing, and this has implications to lake ecology. The other thing is in the summertime, you know, with climate change, we have a difference in the timing and magnitude of spring runoff, right? So basically, I think we've all noticed that spring runoff happens a little bit earlier in the year. And so we don't have really good base flow in the summertime from our streams feeding the lakes. And so what happens is that we have the potential for high evaporative rates. And we've seen this in Whitefish Lake the last three summers, where we've had basically a flash drought occur where we don't get any precipitation in it, coupled with hot weather. And so that really lowers our lake elevations. And in Whitefish Lake, we have good lake elevation data going back to about 1958. And the last three summers, our lake level elevations have almost eclipsed the record low from 1988. And just a week and a half ago, we were measuring lake elevations, and the lake currently is a foot below where it was last year.
Really?
So that sets up the potential for really low lake levels this summer.
Well, now, Whitefish Lake is a little different because you don't have dams regulating how much water comes in and goes out.
Right, that's right, John.
Yeah, yes. Like Flathead now, we can raise and lower the lake at will almost.
Right.
But so, not Whitefish Lake, so that's a good indicator.
Yeah, yeah. Flathead Lake is regulated, you know, the last 2 meters or so by the dam, right? So Whitefish Lake, you just think of it as a wide spot in the stream. It's a natural lake, and so it really depends on that tributary input in the springtime to recharge it. So that it'll last for the summer. And that has implications to, you know, a lot of people are worried about dinging their boat props on, you know, rocks or pipes going out into the lake. And of course, that affects property owners, right, in their access to, you know, the shoreline and such. And so, yeah, it's climate change is tangible in Whitefish Lake.
Okay, now you mentioned it's a foot below where it was last year. How does that stack up historically over a number of years? Is it the all-time low, or has it been here before?
Well, you know, like I mentioned, the all-time low is 1988, and then this, going back from there, 1967 was also a very low water year. But like I said, you know, just the last 3 years, we've been really, really close, like within a tenth of an inch of the record low. Hmm. And that usually occurs in the fall, early fall. And so, yeah, things are changing. It's a new paradigm, I guess, in terms of our experience with lakes. And like I said before, it really has profound implications on the lake ecology.
How about some of the spring-fed lakes around here? They seem to be having more water than they have before.
Yeah, it's highly variable, right? And so, yeah, the spring-fed lakes, it depending on where the lake sources its water, if you will, mm-hmm. They all react a little differently. And so, and that's the thing with lake science is that, you know, I think the general public largely lumps lakes into one category, but really they're very unique based on their geology and water inputs and their biology and all the ecology happening within.
Our guest is Whitefish Lake Institute's Mike Kopel, an expert in lake resiliency and the impact of climate change on our lakes, especially our own water sources, which we talked about before. Let's talk now about the species living in these lakes, because if the lake is going up and down, what's that doing to them?
Well, there's a lot of implications to lake species. You know, first of all, I think we need to create a couple categories. One is our native species, fish that have evolved here over thousands of years and to the unique conditions that we have locally. And then there are non-native species that have been introduced to the area from either well-intended fish management or from people that bring fish in. Like me, I'm a native Iowan, so I fish for northern pike in Iowa. And so sometimes people will bring fish in with good intentions of thinking they're creating a fishery when in fact they're impacting our native species through competition. So one of the hot button issues right now are aquatic invasive species. And this probably has the highest degree of potential to impact our recreation and economy here in northwest Montana. So with the changing climate and warming water temperatures and with influx potential for aquatic invasive species, we all of a sudden create an environment that could be more favorable for these critters that we want to keep out. So for instance, a lot of these aquatic invasives have evolved to a different set of environmental conditions elsewhere, and they might be used to warmer temperatures. And so when they get introduced here in western Montana, they might find conditions favorable. And we know in Whitefish Lake, for instance, a lot of people are concerned about zebra mussels, right? And we know that they can build shells on top of one another and they can totally encrust pipes. Well, that's of concern in Whitefish because the city draws part of its municipal drinking water from Whitefish Lake. So the concern is that the zebra mussels would encase that or encrust that pipe, significantly reducing the flows. Or more pervasive would be for a microscopic larval form of zebra mussel to get sucked up the water intake pipe to the water treatment plant, at which point it could clog the infrastructure at the plant. So there are lots of implications with these tiny critters, and in a warming climate, if we make that potential, if that living environment more hospitable to them, then that's an issue.
Well, we got a little bit of a scare here a few years ago up on Beaver Lake when the milfoil came in. We were able to shut that down, but Milfoil Lake pours into the Whitefish River, which eventually would have made its way into Whitefish Lake.
Yep, exactly, John. That happened in 2011. The Department of Natural Resources and Conservation, during a field trip, found a patch of Eurasian water milfoil at the boat ramp at Beaver Lake. And the Whitefish Lake Institute was part of an interagency group that dealt with the situation, basically placing bottom barriers or big fabric mats on the bottom of the lake to choke out those plants, and then followed up with suction dredging for 6 years. Now, we went from 23.5 pounds of Eurasian water milfoil in 2012 to zero plants observed last year, which, you know, when you think about success stories related to aquatic invasive species, they're very few and far between. But this year, as of last week, Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks was up there doing a survey and found a small patch of Eurasian water milfoil by the boat ramp again. So the lesson here is that, you know, you have to keep on it. You know, you can't just assume you have success just because 1 year you didn't find a plant. I mean, when you do a survey, it's hard to ocularly identify these in the lake. And so we have to be up there, you know, doggedly year after year after year. and the city of Whitefish has committed to doing that, and Fish, Wildlife, and Parks has committed to doing that.
Well, we're talking about water ecology and safety this morning. Whitefish Lake Institute's Mike Koppel here, and you know, I was thinking about how when you're going on some of the trails, they'll have signs warning you about grizzlies and things to do and not do. Do we have signage at Whitefish Lake tipping people on the proper behavior so they don't pollute the lake?
Yeah, at City Beach and Whitefish, and at State Park, Whitefish Lake State Park, there's signage related to what people can do to maintain a high degree of water quality. We have partnered with the City of Whitefish to install aquatic invasive species signs to inform people about the issue, and so that they can take the requisite precautions so that we don't introduce those to our lake.
Yeah, well, we have to be careful. We don't want them clogging up. I'd never thought of that, clogging the water intake pipes to the water treatment plant. I knew that was a real danger, but I'd never thought about it being the drinking water, John.
Yeah. I don't suppose it does anything for the taste of the water either.
No. It's not going to be pristine. It's got that zebra mussel flavor to it. Now, citizen knowledge. Now, you've imparted quite a bit of knowledge to us here this morning, but are there things for the average person to consider as they head out to the lake this summer?
Absolutely. First of all, I think we all have to recognize that we all live in a lake watershed. Everyone in the Flathead Valley lives within a lake watershed, and so we're all part of the greater systems that feed into our lakes, culminating in Flathead Lake. The most important thing that people can do is to clean, drain, and dry their equipment. So either their watercraft, trailers, or personal gear as they go out, to make sure that we don't have any aquatic hitchhikers attached. Secondly, people need to stop at the watercraft inspection stations. It's Montana state law, and it's just a good thing to do. It's in Whitefish, we've really tried to reduce the inconvenience to boaters at the watercraft inspection stations, and to make it a more efficient process. And the response from the public's been great. I think everybody understands what we're doing and what we're trying to prevent. And they also understand that if we do get these aquatic invasive species, it'll significantly affect our lake water quality and economy.
Yeah, the economy as well as the quality, you know, this goes deep.
Yeah, if you think about it, you know, if we get something like a zebra mussel type species in Whitefish Lake, you know, our recreational opportunities will be reduced. You know, their shells will carpet the shoreline area, so kids swimming at City Beach will be probably cutting their feet on these shells.
Well, your Whitefish city manager knows all about that at Lake Fond du Lac, where he used to live.
That's right. He has a good perspective coming from the Midwest, and I think we need more of those people from those areas telling the story of what we can expect if we do get an infestation. The other thing is just thinking about property values. We know that property values go down when there's an invasive species introduction into the lake. And, you know, hey, that drives our tax base. That drives our, you know, visits to other business, indirect businesses, you know, as people come here to visit. And so it has basically a very catastrophic effect to our community.
Well, thank you, Mike. It's very important. We can see that it's important on many different levels.
Are there things that we can do to get involved with the Whitefish Lake Institute?
Well, we're a member-based organization, so we're a nonprofit, small nonprofit in Whitefish. And so if you're a business out there or an individual and water quality is important to you, please consider supporting us. You can do so on our website at whitefishlake.org.
All right. Boy, this has been a great conversation. Yeah. Whitefish Lake Institute's Mike Koppel. Thank you so much.
Thank you.